T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's get back to the latest headlines for the sports world.
Trending now.
Trending now.
Here's what's trending.
Fly ball walloped. Kane on the run. Still going. He did it again. Number 200 for Freddie Freeman, and it ties the game.
Man, he hit that one so hard. Did you hear it? You could hear, like, the crack of the bat had my ears ringing.
How about yesterday? You see Acuña bat go flying in the infield? Like, dude.
Yeah, he broke that thing in half.
Like, it snapped.
And then they put together a little memorial service for it in the dugout. Did you see that? They kind of taped it back together.
Yes. They dropped it in the trash can.
Hung some cups off the wall. Baseball players are so weird.
They're weird. They got some issues.
Oh, man.
But, I mean, you got all those games and all those days. You got to figure out something.
You have to keep it light somehow.
Yeah.
Andy Bunker, Randy McMichael here with you in the Kia Studios. Final hour for us. What's trending? One of them, Freddie Freeman, is hitting the crap out of the baseball right now. We'll get back into this Freddie Freeman discussion in a bigger picture coming up in about 20 minutes about where the Braves are right now and why Freddie is so vital to every single thing that they do. I think people understand why. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we forget. Sometimes we take him for granted. And over the weekend, he reminded us why he's so vital to what the Braves do. It's so valuable to the Braves lineup. 4 home runs in 4 consecutive days. Chance to make it 5 tonight against the Giants. They're back at it tonight. Another one of those play in Atlanta and then take a cross-country flight and play the next day. So they'll do that tonight. Mike Soroka on the mound. Looking forward to that one. But the most important thing from the weekend is the Brewers came into town. The Brewers are a good baseball team. The Braves beat them 2 out of 3. The last time they had squared off against talented teams like that,
wasn't so good.
They didn't do as good of a job with that. So you can check out that Freddie Freeman conversation that we had earlier on the website at 929thegame.com. Again, we'll get back into it coming up in about 20 minutes. We also had an interesting Kirby Smart conversation in the 12 o'clock hour about the three reasons or the three scenarios in which Kirby Smart would no longer be the head coach at UGA. You can check that out at 929thegame.com as well. But again, Randy, the most important thing, the Braves went 2 out of 3, and Folty looked pretty dang good yesterday, too.
I think we were all looking to see what he was going to do in this start because we felt that, me and you both felt that way. You might have to remove him from there. Now, do you move him to the bullpen? Do you send him back to Gwinnett? Whatever, whatever. We're like, no, shut him down. Let him rest because it seems like something was wrong. He looked good yesterday. Now, he gave up 2 bombs, but an overall pitch, that was his best stuff he had since he's been up.
Snit went with option 3. Just let him keep pitching.
Let him keep going.
Here's what Snit said about Folty after the game.
I mean, I like the delivery changes. It looks stronger. It was pitching today. It was changing speeds. Kept good hitters off balance. It's pretty good.
Pretty good. Very Snit of him to explain it that way. But no, his velocity, that's the most important thing. If Folty is going to be the guy that we've come to expect, he's going to have to throw the ball hard. He's a fireball. He throws at 96, 97 miles an hour.
And you saw, like, you know, it got up there early and it stayed up there.
Yep.
Now, we know that why he didn't come back because we were all like, well, why'd you take him out? He was feeling nauseous or dizzy, whatever.
He was dizzy?
Go get your power bar, man. Go get your power. But I'm looking at their upcoming schedule. I mean, you got 7 straight on the road. They got to San Fran for 4, and then they go to St. Louis for 3. So, I mean, this is going to be another one of those long road tested on at the end of the St. Louis game on May 26th, you know, we'll be saying to each other, okay, so if they come back with a 4-3 record, what do you give it? Or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Just win more because for some reason they struggle in San Fran.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so how many can they get out of it? You got a 4-game set. Can you get 2?
What do you need?
I need at least a split.
You need a split from the Giants and then 2 out of 3 from the Cardinals?
Okay, I need a split from the Giants. Soroka is going today. Tehran is tomorrow.
Okay.
So we'll talk about him tomorrow and when he'll give up the home run. Then you got Max Fried, Gosman, and Folty comes back next. Folty's back on next Friday.
Okay. I'll take.
He's on this Friday.
I'll take 4-3 on the road trip.
Okay.
The Braves have won 7 out of the last 9
on
that homestand. So I'll take 4-3 on the road trip. Maybe Folty needed some of that hint water. You know, some of that essence-infused water. Yeah, maybe that's what Folty needed.
In the break, I got to go talk to Dutch.
Get yourself a palate.
Give me a palate of that hitting water. I'm going to say it just like that, too.
You're going to move the T and the N around
hidden.
So it's hitting?
Hidden.
Is that a hint?
Yeah.
All right, that works.
Hidden water.
Picked up by Shotkoski.
And he blows
Roll
the
time.
Final whistle.
They didn't let him take the free kick.
What in the world is Robert Sabiga doing to end
this
match?
And now we have a melee.
A melee.
Tito Villalba is in it along with Shotkoski. A fight has broken out here right
it's
at the net.
It's a lot of pushing and shoving right now. There's no punches being thrown.
Mario Williams trying to pull Tito Villalba out of traffic. The match is over. Atlanta United has lost. The melee ensues. And now, slowly, the teams are pulled apart.
If that's not... If anybody ever asks you, they've never listened to an Atlanta United broadcast on the radio, what are Jason and Mike like? Play them that clip. Like, that's the perfect example.
That is the perfect clip of them,
Jason
man.
And Mike.
It is, man. And my man pushed on Twitter, pushed the ball. I don't know if you saw the tweet that he sent about the whole melee thing. It's pretty funny.
A melee!
It's pretty funny. But, that's Jason, though. You know, even when United loses, we bring Jason on. Jason talks us off the ledge and has us all back calm. But a game that it was disappointing because you are up a man. You're up a man for 55 minutes of that match, and you're not able to capitalize because we've seen outside of this win streak they had, when they gave up the early goal, teams just sat back. Because they don't have that playmaker that can break all this stuff down. Had some opportunities, though.
They had some opportunities. Yeah, I mean, one thing that continues to be frustrating, and I remember you asked Longshore about this a couple weeks ago. I don't know how many corner kicks they have last night. 12?
Dude, they cannot
15?
From set. They are a horrible set piece.
Did they even come close to scoring on a situation like that? And look, I get it. There's not a ton of great targets in the lineup right now. They don't have a lot of tall targets on the corner kicks, and they keep kicking it in there to keep kicking it in there to Joseph, and Joseph can jump really high, but if you got a 6'4" defender on him, it's going to be really hard for him to go up there and win it. I say just go back to the short corners like they were doing last year with Tata.
Mm-hmm.
Just regain possession and try to build it up a different way. It was very frustrating, though, because I think they had 65% of the possession, as they tend to always do under Frank DeBoer, which I like. I love possession. I think it's a smart strategy to win soccer games. If the other team doesn't have the ball, it's going to be hard for them to score against you. But they just kept doing the same things over and over and over again, building into that bunker defense that the Red Bulls had back there. And not finding different creative ways to break it down. It's tough. And sometimes it makes it even harder when a team is a man down because they literally just put everybody back there and don't give you an opportunity to pull them out and then break them down that way. But a frustrating 55 minutes up a man to not be able to score a goal.
Just not get anything going. And then a lot of times, Andy, you saw short passes. You saw passes that were off target a little bit. You saw it being intercepted. You saw them being taken away. I mean, it was just sloppy and we talked about earlier, you know, all those games in those short amount of days and the short amount of time, short amount of rest, it's catching up to them. And that's the second time this year they've been in a spot like this. But this was different because you've been winning. You've been winning because even though you've been going through that, you've been winning. So I'm not going to use it as an excuse. Not going to.
No.
No, not because, you know, Parkey didn't play last game. You know, Miles Robinson didn't play. Nagby wasn't there. So you had your horses in there. They were pretty well rested.
We also found out that they released, like, the preliminary rosters for the Gold Cup.
Yeah.
Miles Robinson.
How about that? Way to go, Miles.
Congratulations to him. Certainly earned it. Brad Guzan, as well as Darlington Nagby. So it's good news for the individuals, certainly. Good news for the U.S. national team as well, if you care about the Gold Cup. Not great news for Atlanta United, though, because losing players to international commitments is something that we're dealing with right now. It's something that every team does deal with.
Exactly.
But could mean that you're going to miss out from those guys for a little while as well.
Phenomenal. I think that's a good word. Yeah, I mean, it's been a hell of a run. It's been fun. I'm trying not to let it stop. It's super enjoyable and just try to ride that momentum. 4 of 8. I like the way that sounds.
Yeah, Brooks Koepka does it again, wins a major. He was running away with it, had a 7-stroke lead, ends up winning by what, 2?
I think it's 3.
It got down to 1 at one point. That would have been fun. Dustin Johnson. It's unfortunate that we've gotten to a point where, and this is just my opinion, As a diehard golf fan, we've gotten to the point where the guys that are winning majors, Brooks Koepka most specifically, makes Dustin Johnson look entertaining.
Oh, come
like
on.
Brooks Koepka's so boring that he makes Dustin Johnson seem entertaining.
Snob.
I am a golf snob.
Yeah, you're such a golf
I am.
Snob.
I'm also an entertainment snob.
Yes,
I like to have somebody out there that's fun to watch.
You're a golf snob. Winning is winning. That's a you problem. Okay. You and that your hat.
It is a me problem.
I might have to get that hat just to annoy you.
Cool hat, bad shirt.
It'll remind you of Brooks Koepka every time I wear it. So, yeah, that's why I should get it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I should get it.
Get it. You can wear it with your mock turtleneck that you got when Tiger Woods won the Masters. We go from the most entertaining major championship possible with Tiger. And look, it was going to be impossible to live up to that. To I know 4 out of 8 is amazing.
I mean, it
really is.
It's amazing.
Greatness is something to be cherished, I suppose.
Yes.
But he's boring. He makes Jordan Spieth look interesting. That's how boring Brooks Koepka is. And yeah, I'm a hater. That's fine. I don't care about that.
Congratulations to him. A lot of people don't like him for some of the reasons that you don't like him.
I don't have a problem with his personality, but like, I mean, off the course.
Yeah, but I mean, the dude, I mean, he's about business, man. He's about winning majors. You see, he's probably still trying to make up with his lady.
Probably.
He's probably still like, baby.
He is very typical 2019 pro golf.
Baby, you know how I am when I'm in my mood. You know how. I mean, I'm sure he's coming. He's pulling them all out the hat. Baby, you know how it is when I'm in my mode.
He didn't kiss his lady on the way down to the first tee.
Yeah.
He sort of shunned her twice, which he's getting some flack for.
That's
not good. Yeah, it's not good. You're supposed to kiss your significant other on the way to the first tee. Anyway, let's give away $1,000. That's interesting. More interesting than Brooks Koepka.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Letter. L-E-T-T-E-R. Letter. Text letter to 72881 from your cell phone for your chance at $1,000 in the national signing bonus contest. Letter. L-E-T-T-E-R.
Yes. Get some money, man. All right. Because Duke Sabell, I think they gave $1,000 away last week.
They did?
Yeah, I think so, man.
Those jerks.
Yeah, I think
they're always winning this contest.
They think they did. But, yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with Koepka. I thought Johnson was going to – DJ was going to win that thing. I really actually did. And it did look like it then. 16 comes in.
Just make a putt, DJ.
That's it.
But, all right, that's fine. We'll move on to the next one. I'll stop hating on Brooks Koepka.
This is my class, 2019. And my family is making a grant to eliminate their student loans. Now, I know my class will make sure they pay this forward. And I want my class to look at these alumnus, these beautiful Morehouse brothers, and let's make sure every class has the same opportunity going forward.
It's a beautiful thing.
That's awesome. But only thing is, passing it forward, not everybody got... Can write that.
He's
check
got
right
five
there.
Bill.
Yeah, but no, still though, that is a great thing, and I love because if you got to watch a video and some of the graduates or whatever that were sitting behind him, this one brother, his face was like, "What the and you look at the kids, they're like,
"Well, you could hear the crowd."
Yeah, they were like, "Hold on,
they're like, what did he say?
What did he say?
What?
Huh?
He's going to pay our student loan debt?
Oh hell yeah!
And
then
that's
the MVP.
MVP.
That's got to be unbelievable. The generosity, even though you got it and it ain't gonna put a dent in your wallet or whatever, that's 40 mil.
Robert F. Smith,
come on,
is the man who decided to do that. Didn't even go to Morehouse, by the way.
Oh,
which
he did.
Great. No.
Oh,
no. Went to
that's even better.
Columbia,
man.
And Cornell.
But no, that's good for him, man, and good for those kids. You know, that's got to be an unbelievable feeling that you ain't got to pay off your student loans. But now, you know, guest speakers at graduations. How are you gonna top that?
I just feel bad for the guy who's got to be the Morehouse speaker next year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like everybody's waiting.
Everybody's gonna be waiting. Like,
pay it forward.
I mean, they're out right now scouring, looking for somebody to speak next year. The kids are the alumni. Okay,
everybody's waiting for the announcement at the end.
Do you know how big that we were having a conversation? I'm sure, like. They garnish your wages, right?
Yeah, they do that.
But they can't send you to jail.
They can't send you to jail.
All right.
But they could do basically every other thing to you. They could make your life very, very difficult if you don't pay your student loans. Now, what really sucks is you can set it up in a lot of different ways.
Right.
There's a lot of different ways that you can pay the maximum that you're allowed to pay. You can pay income-based driven. There's a lot of different ways you could set up your student loan repayment.
Right.
You can also set it to where you're paying very little. And you're paying so little that every single month you actually owe more than you're actually paying
right.
because of the interest. So you could be 5 years removed from graduation, like, you know, me, and owe more money than you did when you graduated.
Right.
That could be possible, like, you know, me. So
you don't seem stressed about it.
I'm good.
Okay.
I don't care. I mean, what are you going to do? I'm going to keep paying it every single month. I'm going to do my best. Hopefully somebody will get elected president one of these days that's going to say that we don't have to pay it back. You've got some politicians running on that platform. That's my hope. And I know that's a lazy, get-yourself-bailed-out hope, but whatever. I'm employed.
Yeah.
I got a job. I'm paying taxes. I'm not like a... I'm not a scourge on the economy. I'm out here paying my taxes. So hopefully, eventually, I'll be able to pay those student loans off. But I don't know.
Well, I hope you do. Andy, I really hope you do. Because to me, that seems like that's just a burden around your neck. They ain't going nowhere.
No, I'm not that worried about it. Like, it's gotten to the point where I've rationalized it. Maybe this is wrong. But everybody that I know has them.
Right.
Student loans are a very common problem that students have right now, that people that have graduated from college have right now. And we just bought a house. You're able to apply for loans. It's one of those things that I feel like they look at in a different way than if you have a whole bunch of credit card debt, or if you have a whole bunch of, you know, a car payment that you haven't paid down. The student loans right now are just something that everyone has.
Yeah.
So as long as I'm making, and this is how I've justified it in my own mind.
Okay, that's all that matters though, right?
Yeah, exactly. In the minds of the people that give you loans and credit and stuff like that. We're good, though.
All right. I'm just curious.
Maybe we can ask that guy over there. The more you make more money, then you could pay it down faster.
So you ask for a raise?
Yeah.
Right.
We'll see how that goes.
All right. Well, did you get your $100?
No.
Oh.
Still, I can't even get $100 from the man. How am I going to pay my student loans down? We'll get to Ask Me Anything coming up in half an hour to close things out. Coming up next, though, was yesterday a turn-the-corner type of performance for Mike Foltynewicz and the Braves? I think it might have been. We'll get into why coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. That is some executive-level
pettiness. Yes.
Executive-level pettiness from Magic Johnson today. I didn't realize that today was the day they were announcing Frank Vogel as the head coach.
Yeah, listen, I think he's going to hit introductory press conference is today.
So Frank Vogel and Rob Pelinka get to go sit in front of the media and take questions just hours after Magic Johnson goes on TV says all the stuff that he said about them.
That's so cool. I love it.
Wow. That is something else, man. I mean, it's funny. It's definitely funny. And we're going to have a lighthearted approach to it, because we're not in LA and it's not going to be something that we dive into deeply. But goodness gracious, I mean, that's the organization that he represents still. Whether or not he's in the front office or whatever, he's always associated with the Lakers.
He's the greatest Laker ever.
And he just undermined a huge, huge day for them announcing their new head coach because he felt like Rob Pelinka was mean to him. That's wild.
It could have been worse. It could have been something other than him being mean, but it does seem like it's some hurt feelings on Magic. Magic,
yeah.
But I mean, it's the backstabbers, man. And when you're at the level that Magic Johnson is, like you said earlier, you don't talk about Magic like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, who the hell is Rob Pelinka?
True.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody, true. We know you because you was Kobe agent, and that's what everybody, when he first got the job, that's the first thing everybody said. He was Kobe's agent. That don't mean, I mean, does that give you the cachet to be able to run the Lakers?
No, it doesn't, clearly.
But it's clearly.
clearly. What's been going on has not been, even, I mean, they got LeBron, but I think that has more to do with the city itself and access
LeBron was coming
in. He was going in. Yeah. He wanted to be in L.A. because of what the city has to offer. No, but that's the thing, though. Like, no one is going to change their opinion of Magic based on Rob Pelinka saying some bad stuff about him behind his back.
Not one bit.
People are going to be like, oh, Magic is this now because Rob Pelinka said so?
Yeah.
Nah. Magic. I'm always a fan of taking the high road when you can.
When you can. But hey, that's a good point.
But when they don't, the pettiness is fun as well. So the tip of the hat to Magic for being
petty.
The petty award winner of the day submarining.
Hey, Stephen A. Hey, let me come on your show. Because I bet that's how the conversation went.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Stephen A., let me come on your show. It wasn't Stephen A. calling him.
Oh, yeah. Just hit him with the text this morning. Hey, I'm going to be
y'all ain't got to come out to L.A. I'm going to fly to New York.
I'm going
to
be around the studios at about 8 a.m. this morning. You guys got time for me? I got a couple things I'd like to get off my chest.
That's petty, though, man. But, hey, Magic's?
There you go.
It's magic.
Magic's magic.
Yeah.
Hit him with the no-look pass. Now they got to deal with that today at the press conference. All right.
It's going to be great.
Andy Bunker and Randy McMichael here with you in the Kia Studios. The Solomon Brothers Diamond text line is open. Has been all day. 404-741-0929. You can hit us with the questions that we will answer in 15 minutes. We'll get to the AMA coming up in 15 minutes, either on the text line at 404-741-0929. Or on Twitter at TBM929 for me, or at RandyMack81 for Randy. We'll close things out with the AMA coming up in 15 minutes. Before we get there, well, we talked about this in the 10 o'clock hour. It's been a while, so let's get back to it. What Freddie Freeman did over the weekend was great. It was great. I mean, four home runs in a row is something to be celebrated. Hopefully he can keep it up tonight. I would love to see him do it eight games in a row and tie the record that Ken Griffey Jr. and Don Mattingly and those guys set. But it's also not that different from what Freddie Freeman does. It's a little bit more special because it's all concentrated in one weekend, and he had a walk-off on Saturday, and he hit his 200th home run yesterday, and that's all great.
What a weekend.
But Freddie does this, though. Like, sometimes it happens all at once, and we're reminded of it, but I think we should also be reminded of the fact that Freddie is constantly doing this, and I just think we take that man for granted.
We do.
I think bullpen arguments get in the way, and Mike Foltynewicz not having good starts get in the way, and who should be batting leadoff, and all this sort of stuff. Sometimes all of the headline, hot topic, hot take stuff gets in the way. It happens with the Falcons, too, and Matt Ryan, of just being like, dang, it sure is nice to have that dude.
As your quarterback.
Right in the middle of the line, or as your quarterback, or batting third and playing a gold glove first base. Because without him, all these other conversations, you probably wouldn't care as much about him because the team wouldn't be in contention.
Good deodorant. That's what it is. It covers up the stink sometimes. It does. When you got that kind of player and – I've said this since I've been working here. I didn't know that Matt Ryan got that kind of hate because I know around the league as players, I think Matt Ryan's a hell of a quarterback.
Right.
We do. And so that kind of threw me off. And I said this, and we were after we started the show at 10 o'clock, and me and you were off air, and I was like, yeah, I can see Freddie as Matt Ryan, but do people hate Freddie like they hate Matt Ryan?
No. No, that's the big difference.
Yeah.
And that's why Matt Ryan is always the answer to anytime we have questions like this, who's the catalyst to a team or who's the most important guy to get his offense going or who's the most overlooked and underappreciated athlete taken for granted? Matt Ryan's the answer.
Yeah.
Because A, he is underappreciated more than anybody else. And B, the fact that he's also underappreciated, and then there's the faction of folks that will add on the layer of hatred and the layer of trash talk to him for whatever reason. Freddie doesn't deal with that. I don't know. It's different, I guess, maybe because it's baseball to football.
Baseball to football.
But no, nobody else deals with that like Matt does.
No. I mean, Matt has, you know, some unwise haters. I'll say that. Like, what? I look at it, huh?
Yeah.
But no, Freddie is special.
Haters don't make any sense.
And we know that. I think Freddie is the best baseball player. I think Ronald Acuña is the most talented player on the team. I still think Freddie is the best player. He's your cornerstone, face of the franchise type guy who just goes about his business, the ultimate professional. And that's what I love about him is the professionalism that he shows when he's on the field or whatever. And you can see that by the way guys respect him, especially in the clubhouse, because they're a young team. And it seemed like they were wasting Freddie's good years with all his rebuild and his prospects and all this. And now it's great to see them build something around such a great player who for four years, it was just him.
Right. He was on the team every single year that this rebuild was happening. And that had to have been incredibly frustrating. We remember last year at spring training, he was asked a question about, you know, what do you think of the young guys and what do you think of the chances this year? And he said, well, it's kind of been the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's been the same thing every spring training. We talk about the young guys, but they're not here yet.
Exactly.
They're here now, though. And that's why we asked the question was this weekend, and yesterday specifically for Folty, but this weekend in general for the team with the series win over the Brewers, was this sort of a turn-the-corner type of weekend?
I think it was.
Was this a now maybe you believe in them a little bit more? And there is that core, because to me, a lot of it has to do with, okay, maybe you make a move here and there down the line as the season goes on to try to bolster the lineup or bolster the pitching staff. But a lot of it has to do with that starting rotation, too. And I think we just assumed that Folty was Folty from last year.
We did.
And he hadn't been until yesterday.
Well, no, we assumed it. But after he was injured during spring training, I was like, it kind of changed my stance, because I thought when you're talking about elbows and pitchers and – but it's bone spurs, I think that's what it was, the diagnosis. I'm like, he's going to be out for a while. And to me, he just didn't seem like he was ready even when he was in his rehab starts. He was getting shellacked. You know, and he was getting hit hard. I think that was the one thing I noticed when he first came back was not the fact that he was getting hit. It was he was getting hard. Like, people were putting him out. Like, yesterday he should have gave off a walk-off.
Yeah.
I mean, lead-off home run yesterday. Mm-hmm. I mean, that – and then, I mean – He was. We were led to believe that he's the ace of this, you know, of this staff or whatever. And he's probably he's ultra talented. Don't get me wrong, he's ultra talented. But if he ain't right, he ain't right. And now these young guys have seemed to leapfrog him a little bit. But if you can get a Folty and he be a third starter, you got something going.
That would be great.
You got something going.
Sign me up
if
for that.
Soroka and Free can stay and keep doing what they're doing, and you can slide in Folty at three, and then Tehran at the four.
Well, he is four.
I mean.
Julio Tehran's your fourth star.
I mean, you got something going on. And Gosman, you know, you can mix and match wherever that goes. But the best it's the best he looked. The velocity was there. The slider, it was cooking a little bit too. So can he build on another one? That's the ultimate thing to me. And he pitches on the 24th, I think.
Yeah, so he'll pitch Friday.
Yeah, he pitched Friday.
And that you're right. That we won't ultimately know until he puts a couple of these together. And he really looks like he's back, because it had been three at the big league level and four in Gwinnett where it didn't look like that. But again, yesterday was the day that looked the most similar to last year. His arm was clearly feeling better, throwing the ball 97, 96 miles an hour for the first time this year. We hadn't seen that before. The slider was actually working. And if he's able to get back to that, it's almost like, because you've gotten to the point of this season, the Braves are in a good spot. Well, they're two and a half games behind the Phillies. The Braves are in a fine situation without having Folty.
Right.
Folty hadn't been a part of the team thus far.
Is he put you over the top type pitcher?
I think so.
Okay.
I think if Folty can get back to the type of pitcher that he was last season, mm-hmm. I think that does put you over the top.
Now,
or close to over the top. I still think you have stuff you have to deal with.
Okay, because we're both at this point with Luke Jackson. Want to like him.
Okay.
Want to like
him.
Yeah. I just can't.
You don't fully believe in
you
Luke Jackson.
Believe in him.
And that's understandable.
And, I mean, the two-out saves was great. Back-to-back game. Like, oh,
yeah.
Luke got something going then.
Right. Well, it's still the first.
It's still the
third or fourth date with Luke Jackson.
Yes, I know.
It's still early.
I know.
We're not committing to Luke Jackson.
I'm not committing
yet.
To him, but, I mean, right now, does it seem like he's the best option?
He is the best option.
Yeah, so that's what I'm like.
But to me, that's what getting a healthy Folty back does.
Is what?
It deals with one of the other things that you might have had to have gone out and dealt with. Because now, if Folty, say Folty puts together three or four great starts in a row.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday wasn't great, but really good starts in a row. So you can count on him and you know that he's every 5 days going to give you a chance to win. Soroka, I think, has proven that he can do that. Freed, sure. Tehran is going to be good sometimes and not good other times, but he's your fourth starter, so that's okay. You can deal with that.
Right.
But if Folty's there, you don't have to go out and get a number one starter in a trade. Now you can focus those trade chips, whoever they may be, Ender, Camargo, Donald, whatever, whoever you're going to use in a trade. Then you can use that to bolster your bullpen.
But a name that I was thinking about this yesterday when I was at the house. Why haven't we talked about Duvall more as far as something to trade?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I would be willing to do that if he's not playing at the big league level.
And he doesn't seem like he's part of the future.
No, he's certainly not part of the future. I mean, what's his value? I know he's tearing the cover off the baseball in the minors.
But I keep saying that about everybody's value.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to talk about throwing Ender. Now, what Ender going to bring you back? Another Blevins? Or,
right.
You know.
By himself.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
What are you going to bring?
You throw well. Again, I don't know how much more Adam Duvall makes it in return either.
I just say once. I mean, we keep on put Adam and Ender. Would they get you? That's pretty funny.
Jesse Biddle can come back.
I was
making
myself laugh.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny.
You got to throw in something valuable if you want to. But that's what Folty does to me. He answers if he's back. You don't have to worry about that anymore. Then you can start dealing with the glaring, obvious issue that has been bothering us all season long.
It's going to continue.
That wasn't addressed and still hasn't been addressed, which is the bullpen.
It's still going to bother us.
Yes, it will. Until it's addressed. All right, we'll come back. We'll answer your questions. Any question, any topic that you may have, either on the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text line, 404-741-0929, or on Twitter at TBM929 for me, at RandyMack81 for Randy. AMA coming up next to close things out here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
92.9 The Game.
All right, any question, any topic to close out the show? Solomon Brothers Diamond Text line, 404-741-0929, or on Twitter at TBM929 for me, or at RandyMack81 for Randy. Before we get to the questions, I do want to let you know you could join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game this Friday at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, probably, as the Dukes and Bell Show will be broadcasting from 2 to 7.
Is he sure?
Well, we'll have to check with, you know, because, you know, yeah. Stop by to kick off your weekend with some delicious man food and some Hey Man Ale. 92.9 The Game. Mike Bell back today, by
the
way.
Yes, he's back.
Telling fun stories about his trip overseas.
Of course.
And all the haymans that he was passing out there. Sounded like he had an excellent time, so don't go anywhere. Dukes and Bell coming up next. All right, let's get to these.
Do you have the screen up?
Yeah, I've got it. Okay. I've got some of them. Oh, we'll start with this one, though. This is fun. Tell your weekend story. How was Fenway, man?
It was cool, man. It was an experience that I've been wanting to do for a long time. Got a chance to go to Boston University to see my Aunt Pam get her master's, which was so cool.
Congratulations to Aunt Pam, by the way.
And we made it back to the game, went down to Fenway. Spent a lot of time down there before the graduation, so I got a little intoxicated and went back. And it was a whole lot of fun. Just walking in there, and the first thing you see is that opening and where the field was. It kind of took my breath away. But it was cool, though.
How was staying in the dorms?
It wasn't as bad as I thought. It was just one night. So that was it. It was one night. They had a community, the community bathroom. That kind of threw me off because it was like, the funniest thing was like when we first got to the hotel, or the dorm or whatever, and we're going in there, and there's this like older grandma. She was there walking around on the floor with just a house coat on.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, I'm used to that, but sure. Like, you know, I didn't know there was going to be, I was just throwing off, right? So me trying to go the bathroom and the community bathroom, it just wasn't cool.
You bring your shower shoes and like your little shower tote thing?
I did not bring it, but I'm a country boy, so I don't.
So you're good.
I'm good.
When you were a freshman, they had separate football dorms?
Well, we stayed in the McWhorter Hall, so okay. And it was all the football players, freshman, sophomore. We stayed there, but it's regular students too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So was it similar? Or was
No. You were suite mates.
But the dorms that you stayed at in Boston must have been way worse.
Oh, yeah. It was god awful.
Way older.
It was god awful.
Those are some really old dorms.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Andy, did you get your honey-do list done this weekend? I got some of it done. I worked a lot this weekend. I'll tell you that. I got the porch swing up.
Which is good.
It's good to go.
And by verification, he did send me the picture.
Yep.
Of Ashley and the dog on the – well, the dog was on the floor. But and it's there.
Can I tell you that freaked me out, though?
Why?
As soon as we got it up, Ashley's sitting on it. We're having a beer on the porch. She's drinking a beer. And Boone goes and crawls underneath the porch swing because it's shady.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, if this thing breaks.
And it falls on Boone.
Not only is it going to break and I'm going to be embarrassed and have to fix it, it's going to fall on Boone. It's going to hurt him.
It's going to be some
bad. I couldn't say that I didn't want him under there because then that means that I'm not trusting my craftsmanship.
Yeah.
So I just had to sit there very nervous, hoping nothing happened. But it all worked
out. You'd have had some issues.
Oh, man, that would have been a total disaster.
Oh, here, Randy, did you drop kick your engineer? I just threatened him. I didn't drop kick him yet.
He did threaten
him. I did threaten Eric for my $12 because he owes me $12 for the parking. And he owes me six for the parking. And he owes me $6 because I bought him lunch last week. So I told him I'm coming to get my 12 by the end of the week. What's going to be some problems?
Yeah, I heard this. I heard this. And you know,
no, I don't need no interest, but I want my 12.
You know what's funny about Eric?
Uh-huh.
Just kind of kept making jokes. Didn't really take it very seriously.
I'm going to have his little behind pinch up in one of them walls over there in a minute. I'm just telling you. I want my $12.
Pretty classic Eric.
Yeah.
Hey, which restaurant in Atlanta has the best wings?
We had a conversation like this last week, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, my favorite always has been Lamp Post, but I don't even think Lamp Post still open.
Where's that?
It's over in College Park. It's a good spot.
All right.
We call it Lamp Post. Them post wings. Whew. Yes, geez. Yes. But that was the one thing I did find out about Boston. They can't fry chicken over there. They can't fry no chicken.
There's
I think they boiled it and then tried to fry it.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was.
There's certain things that you don't want to try in Boston.
Yeah.
Like, most things that are special and good in Atlanta, specialties of Atlanta, not what you're going to want to look for in Boston.
Yeah.
A lot of things to drink. Maybe some like lobster roll. You could have had one of those. That'd be pretty good up there.
Yeah.
Fried foods, any sort of soul food. Don't do that in Boston.
Okay.
That's not a good idea. Yeah. Most random thing besides One Tree Hill jersey you bought from an Instagram ad. You did buy a One Tree. And my wife, by the way, said now she likes it even more than ever.
Usually it's nothing really out of this world. I mean, I bought like sweat vests from there.
Uh-huh.
So those are, but nothing crazy.
Sweat vests?
Yeah. When I work out and everything,
or
a sweat vest or whatever, I bought some from there. But mostly, it wasn't no jewelry. It's been just crazy random shirts. And they know I'm a t-shirt junkie.
You've worn a different, and I think new, t-shirt that I've never seen before to work every day for the last 2 weeks.
Andy, I told you, they're in another room right now, okay? They're in another room. That's how many I got.
Is this going to be an intervention thing we have to do
point? It might be, dude. I got a problem.
You have enough shirts to wear a different shirt every day.
I do.
And that's a good shirt you have on right now, the Bushwood Country Club.
Yeah. I'm about to
Caddy Day champion.
Yeah, I love the shirt, but I'm just I'm losing it, man. I'm losing it.
You know what's funny though? Because of your shirts and all the cool shirts you've had on, I went through the closet over the weekend and started getting rid of stuff. So I could start getting new shirts. I was like, Randy's got too many cool shirts. I got to step my shirt game up.
Yeah, I got this. And like when we got back from Boston, there was three more boxes out there, and each of them had like seven shirts in it. So yeah, I got an issue, man.
Who would win in a street fight, the kids from Goonies or the Sandlot?
The Goonies. They were a little bit tougher than Sandlot kids.
I don't know. Sandlot kids.
They weren't that tough. I mean, they weren't that tough.
Benny the Jet, I'll take him.
Benny was,
but he's going to run.
But outside of Benny, who you going to take?
Yeah, you got Ham Porter. Ham Porter's going. He's at least going to talk some trash. Whatever. What's the pitcher?
What was the pitcher?
Jesse. I got Jesse on my side. You definitely don't want Smalls. Smalls is going down first.
Yeah.
Smalls is going to get knocked out first.
Because he, I mean, all you got to do is just dance with him and make him swing and miss.
If you could get on stage and perform with any group, which group and what song would you perform?
Oh, man. I know he's dead, but I would have loved to perform with James Brown.
That'd be fun. Yes. Just doing the kick and the
just
splits
doing the kick
and all
the
your
splits.
Stuff.
Oh, yeah. Do perform with James Brown?
Yeah.
Oh,
now, would you wear a James Brown outfit?
Yeah.
Of course.
Of course.
I want to perform with Boys to Men. They're only three of them now.
Why?
So they need one.
Why did I know you were going to say that?
Yeah, and you know what song I want to perform, too.
Which one? End of the Road or
No
Time Philly?
No, neither.
Which one?
I'll Make Love to You. I want to perform that song on stage.
You want, now, which verse do you, because... You want to do Wanye's verse?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What I would really like, they still have the guy with the deep voice.
Yeah.
I would love to do End of the Road, I could do that at the end. But I don't have quite the voice for it, so would it sound the same?
You can fake that,
baby. I'd fake it.
I'm sorry.
And I want to do it like they used to do back in the 90s when they would just wear sweater vests with nothing underneath and big baggy jeans.
Don't go back there.
Yeah.
No, don't go back there.
Yeah, that's what I want. A sweater vest with nothing underneath.
Yeah.
Let the show the guns off.
Right.
With the baggy jeans and some sort of old school Nikes. Yeah, that's what I want to do.
Way to go, Brian. Way to mess that up.
I could be the fourth member.
Next vacation. We are going in a couple weeks, matter of fact. We're going down to Havana in a couple weeks for my birthday. Well, it's not my birthday. It's just a trip that I'm going.
Havana.
Yeah.
That's going to be amazing.
Dude, I can't wait. Can't wait.
What's the one main question you still have for Game of Thrones? Ooh, no spoilers.
No spoilers.
No
so
spoilers.
I've been unspoiled it if I say something.
We'll get there. We'll get there later in the week.
All I know is that... Oh, never mind, Randy. Stop, stop. I was going to say something about Ned Stark. But.
For tonight is
there you go.
Your night. We gonna celebrate.
Hit the line.
Mm-hmm. All through the night.
All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap things up. Our biggest takeaway of the day, and we'll hand off to Dukes and Bell as well. That's it.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Takeaway of the day. What are you going to remember about today's program while you're driving home, maybe hanging out at the house later on this afternoon? What stands out the most?
That Freddie Freeman's that dude.
He's that dude.
And you're talking about a weekend to remember. For him to hit the walk-off. And then for him to get the 200th of his Braves career, I mean, this guy, we've been on him all day talking about what he means to this team and what he means to this city and this organization. And have we taken him for granted? Have we taken how great he is for granted? Because he isn't a flashy player. He's just consistent. And he's one of the best, in my opinion, he is the best first baseman in baseball. And he's all ours. And now they're finally putting talent around that. Because he was wasting away during that whole rebuild.
They put some more talent around it. Well, there's a new guy that's going to be on the team with him.
What we got?
Talent, that's up to you to decide. The Braves have made a trade with the Seattle Mariners. They've acquired Anthony Swarzak and cash considerations. They sent Aroldis Vizcaíno, who's hurt, and Jesse Biddle.
They got something for Jesse Biddle?
I don't know how that's possible.
Well, look what they got.
Anthony Swarzak. That's pretty amazing to be able to get something in return for. I think maybe the Mariners have only been watching American League baseball this year.
They got something for Jesse Biddle.
That's incredible.
All right,
Alex Anthopoulos is the general manager of the year.
And a banged up Vizcaíno. So you're trying to tell me that they brought in another Jesse Biddle for Jesse Biddle?
Sounds like they got Jesse Biddle for Jesse Biddle.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. That'll be fun. He's a 10-year vet. Here's my takeaway of the day. Randy's mom thinks the French language is sexy.
Yeah, she does.
We learned that today.
Yes, we did. And it was funny. Sean had the text line up, and he said somebody said something about Randy's mom is teaching him sex. And she, hey, I'm just telling you, she did. She made me take French. Like, I was like, Mom, I want to take. No, no. French is so sexy, Randy. And then she tried to hit a French accent with it, too, which made it even funnier. Oh.
So it's like, Mom, your mom was your wingman, kind of.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
That's great.
Hey.
That's what moms are great. Moms always have your back.
They are cool, though, aren't they? Moms are cool.
They are. Yeah, moms are the best.
They're cool.
Dads are pretty great, too. Yesterday was my dad's birthday, by the way.
Oh, really?
Happy birthday.
Did you send him anything?
Yeah.
What'd you send him?
Sent a card. And then my brother got him some stuff, and I Venmo'd my brother some money.
Okay. Well, you know, teamwork.
So me and my brother went halves on it. Oh, it's not the same for dad's birthday as it is for mom's birthday.
You know what? You wait till you become a daddy. You wait till how that child worships your wife, Ashley, and just treats you like until they need something.
I'm ready for that.
Until they need something.
That's basically what it's been like in my family.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tooth fairy. Little man lost another tooth yesterday. You know who he came to? Me, because he was bleeding. you know who he came to talking about the tooth fairy? Me.
Of course.
Yeah, but
you're the money man.
Oh, everything else? Oh, you just love mommy this, mommy that. I'm like, hey, man, what about me? What about me? Hey, I mean, I helped bring. Well, no, she did all the work. I helped create you.
That's right.
All right, then.
That's right.
Put some respect.
Half the DNA is yours.
Put some respect on it.
All right, coming up the rest of the week, we are going to talk to Brian Jordan tomorrow, as always. John Smoltz is going to join us on Wednesday as well to talk a little bit about this Braves pitching rotation. And, Folty pitching yesterday, looking good, hopefully getting back to his former self.
The best he's looked.
Get things on track with these Braves. They're back at it tonight on another West Coast trip.
Yep.
You going to stay up for this whole thing?
Yeah, I'm going to give you 11:30.
Okay, 9:45, so you get to like the 6
a.m. Yeah, then I'll watch the rest of it in the morning. Oh, hold on. Look who's here. A tanned Mike Bell.
Rested and ready. Mike Bell back from his world travels this afternoon. 2-7, Dukes and Bell. Hey,
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.